Well, there have been many questions that have been asked about these verses in Exodus chapter 12. This event here is what is known as the Passover. We know that that night the firstborn of the Egyptians were to die, and they were to pass out into God's great eternity. Now, what was the cause of the death of these firstborn that evening? Well, the Bible tells us this in Exodus chapter 12 and the verse 12. We see there were the words of the Lord, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt." And so we see the cause of the death that night, the cause of this plague that came upon the households of the Egyptians was the Lord. He was the one who executed this judgment upon the people. He was the cause of the death and the sorrow and the crying out that night in the land of Egypt. Now this here event, because it was attributed to the Lord, has led to many people saying many things. Some have called it a mass genocide. Some have called this night a great massacre. Some have then said and concluded that we find awful things that are in the Bible. You see, they'll look at an event as such as Exodus 12 here, and they will say this is an awful event. And they will say then that this is an event that we should not want to consider in the Scriptures. This is an event that we want to ignore. This is an event that we want to take out of the Bible because it's not a good representation of God. And therefore they come with this attitude where they totally reject it. Some would come and say that this all happened by natural means. It wasn't the Lord at all. But the Bible says very clearly, the Lord passed through the land of Egypt, and he was the one to smite the firstborn. Now, we have many questions then that we want to ask. Because I would say to you very simply tonight that this is a passage that reveals a perfect God. This is a passage that represents God and all of his perfections and who he is. This glorifies his name. This shows forth the God that we have to deal with in the Bible. And what was happening here then in Exodus 12? Is it a massacre? Is it a mass genocide? Well, I say it's not. Because the Lord says in Exodus 12, verse 12, "Against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment." You see, the Lord is saying here, what I'm about to do in the land of Egypt is not merely just some random event. It is a judgment against sinful people who have sinned against me. You see, the firstborn of Egypt were not innocent. They were idolaters. They were sinners against the Lord. They had gone astray from him, and therefore the Lord visits sin. The only way the Bible says he will visit sin, it is with judgment and it is with death. And so as we look at this passage, what are we seeing? We're seeing a judicial judgment. We're seeing the great fact that God is the lawgiver, and as he judges here by his law in the book of Exodus, he finds guilty sinners, and therefore he judges them in death. No doubt then the firstborn stood before the judgment throne of God. And yet as we look at this passage, we would not just highlight this one aspect of who God has revealed himself to be. Because it's not all judgment here. And that's good news for a sinner. It's not all judgment. It's not all wrath. It's not all a visiting and death. But we see that Passover here in Exodus 12 is a night of judgment and a night of salvation. And I say to you tonight then, realize the Lord is one who will judge you, who will come to you in a judicial way where he'll judge you by his law. And if you're outside of Christ, you'll be guilty. But see here still, as you sit in your car tonight, that the Lord is one who reveals salvation. He reveals it in the Lord Jesus. He reveals that you can be saved from this wrath. You can be saved from this judgment. You can be saved from this inevitable death. Now, what was the difference that night in the land of Egypt? Very, very simply, it was the Lamb. Exodus 12:3 says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, and the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb." The lamb was the difference. The lamb was the difference between life and death for the people. Because you mustn't forget, the judgment that night in Egypt was not just for the Egyptians, but the Israelites needed a savior. They needed a way out of this death that was coming, and it was the lamb. And this lamb then is a type. It points to the great anti-type, the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, the difference in this world, when all is said and done, will be the great Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Will he be your Lamb? Will he be your Savior? Because in that day, if you do not meet him as a Lamb who is a Savior, you'll meet him as a Lamb that is full of wrath and will condemn your soul. The Passover Lamb made the difference. And we want to look at this lamb tonight as he is revealed in chapter 12 of the book of Exodus. Not as our title for our sermon, the Passover Lamb. The Passover Lamb. The first thing I want you to see about this lamb is that it was a redeeming lamb. It was a redeeming lamb. What happened that night in the land of Egypt was an act of redemption. It was an act of redemption on the part of God. It was a time where the Lord freed his people and he acted in the history of this world to bring them out of their bondage in the land of Egypt. And you may say to me, well, what is redemption? Redemption has this idea of being delivered. It has this idea of being rescued, and especially being delivered or rescued by the payment of a price. You see, what the Lord then did in the land of Egypt that night was he redeemed the people. He rescued them. He delivered them by the payment of the price of blood that the lamb was to shed in the household. The Lord came and he redeemed his people. Therefore, the Lord was the redeemer. He was the deliverer. He was the man, or the one, sorry, who delivered a people from bondage whereby they could not deliver themselves. And we see this here illustrated for us in Exodus 6 and the verses 6 to 7. And then verses say, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord." And the Lord here is highlighting himself. I am the Lord. And he's saying here, I am the Redeemer. Because look what he says after this. "I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." You see what the Lord is saying here? He's saying, I am the Lord, and I will redeem you. I will deliver you and rescue you and bring you out of that land. But you notice here what happens in Exodus 6 verse 7. "And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God." You see the great relationship between the Redeemer and the redeemed. The Lord redeems a people. He brings them out that they might be his people. And then there is this wonderful relationship that is established. The Lord is their Redeemer. And friend, I ask you, do you have such a relationship with the Lord this evening? Do you look at the Lord and do you look at Christ and say, that's my Redeemer. He has redeemed me. He has rescued me. He has delivered me through his cross that I might be out of my bondage. Because that's what Christ has done. Understand that Christ has redeemed the people. Christ has died. He's paid the price. And therefore he has given men and women a way to God that they might have a relationship with him. And you need that relationship tonight. As the children of Israel were in their bondage in Egypt, so tonight you're in your own bondage. You're in the bondage of your sin. And the Bible tells us then that as you're in your sin, you're captive to Satan. And as you're captive to Satan, there is no other way out. There is no escape from your predicament. And therefore the only route you can go on as a captive and a slave to sin is to be a slave eternally and to be lost. Maybe you don't see that tonight. Don't think that you're a slave to sin. Don't think that you're in bondage. You look at your life and you say, I'm living my life wonderfully. I'm free. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm being what I want to be. I'm going down a path where I'm discovering myself. You're saying all of these things. And you know, there is a phrase that young people use in these modern times. That phrase is living my best life. And to live your best life means you wake up every single day and you choose the life you want to live. You be the person you want to be. You do what you want to do. There's no restrictions. You're free in this life. And yet the Bible says that is not the case. The Bible says that your freedom is not freedom at all, but it's bondage. And maybe you're here this evening and you're living your best life. You think you're free. You think you're reigning a life that is, or you're living a life that is pleasurable. You're living a life that you can do what you want. You look at Christianity and you say, that will bring me into bondage. I'll have to live for God. I'll have to follow His law. I'll have to do all of these things. To you, that's bondage. Yet the Bible says that is freedom. And your life without Christ at the minute is bondage. John 8, verse 38, the Savior, or 34, the Savior was speaking to those who imagined that they were living a life of freedom to serve God. And Christ says to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. The Lord is saying to them, you're committing sins, so you're servants to sin. John Gill says here that those who are servants of sin are under the government of sin. This has dominion over them. They obey the lust of the flesh thereof, and they have no other wages at the end of it all but death. Even eternal death. So you see the state you're in tonight. You're in bondage because you cannot do any good towards God. You cannot keep His law. You cannot live a life that's well pleasing to Him. You cannot do anything because you're in bondage. Your will is in bondage to sin. Your life is in bondage to sin. And therefore there's no other freedom but in Christ the Redeemer. You know, the Bible gives a wonderful picture of the life of the believer. It says in Galatians 5 verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Christ and life with Him, see this tonight, is liberty. It's freedom. It's freedom to love God. It's freedom to serve God. It's freedom to do what you were created to do and to glorify Him forever. You can have that tonight through the redeeming Lamb. The Lord has the power to release you. The Lord has the power to deliver you from everything that is keeping you in sin. Now the Bible says in Romans 1 verse 16, these are the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Do you see what the Bible is laying forth to you there? The gospel that is preached to you is the power of God. It's the power of God to redeem you, to release you, to bring you out of your captivity. And what is this gospel in its substance? Mark 1 and 1 tells us, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the great Redeemer. The redeeming Lamb can redeem you this evening. Will He be your Redeemer? Will you be one who is freed from the captivity of sin? Will you walk out of the house of bondage and say, the Lamb of God is my Redeemer? It was a redeeming Lamb. Another thing I want you to see in this text this evening is it was a sacrificial Lamb. It was a sacrificial Lamb. You see, the Lamb of God that we have spoken of, the Passover Lamb, this was a redeeming Lamb, but the Bible also tells us the means whereby that redemption is effected. And that redemption for the children of Israel is effected by means of a sacrifice. Now, this is very clear if we read Exodus chapter 12 and the verse 6. For the Lord gives instructions regarding the lamb that they brought into their house. It says, "And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." So you see, the Lord here brings the lamb into the house. And the lamb comes in with no other purpose but that it would die. It was going to be a sacrifice. It was not meant to live. It was not meant to have a life whatsoever. And you see, we must never then get away from the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. We must never get away from the fact that by the means of Christ's sacrifice, there is redemption. That is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ crucified. And he says later on in 1 Corinthians that that there crucifixion, that message that he preached was the power of God. And we've spoken about that power, but that power is operative through the cross. And so many look at the cross of Christ and they see weakness. So many look at the cross of Christ and they see the worst mistake that mankind has ever made. And yet the Bible says the cross of Christ was the power of God to free a people from their sin. And I ask you, as you look at the cross, do you say, there is the power of God to release me from my sin? Or do you look at the cross and it means nothing to you? The sacrifice is nothing in your life. And we see in this verse that this here sacrifice was with a divine purpose that God would save a people. Now, Revelation 13, verse 8 says that Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Christ's sacrifice was always the plan of God. And we know that John the Baptist knew this. In John 1, verse 29, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ coming and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." You see, John knew Christ through the Old Testament. And he knew his great purpose was to be a sacrifice. Because every Jew who knew about a lamb knew that a lamb was a sacrificial lamb. And so when John sees Christ coming, he is aware of the purpose of God. And he says, "Behold the Lamb." Notice he does not say, "Behold the King" or "Behold the Son of God," but "Behold the Lamb." He saw God's saving purpose through the sacrifice. We see this in Revelation 5, verse 9. It says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You see, the Lamb was worthy. They were singing praises unto him because he has bought us to God by the shedding of his blood. The Lamb has been sacrificed, and this is praiseworthy. This is the purpose of God to save. See that tonight, sinner. See the great purpose of God to save through the cross. Don't get away from it. Because Satan would take you away from it. Your heart would take you away from the sacrifice. It would take you down another path, a path of sin, a path of pleasure. But do not miss the sacrifice tonight. Matthew 16, verses 22 and 23. We see the devil at his work in the life of the Apostle Peter. It says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him." Peter was rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ because he was speaking about the cross. He was speaking about the fact that he was going to die for sinners. And so Peter rebuked him and said, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." You see, Peter is essentially saying, "Lord, you're not going to the cross. Lord, you're not going to die. Lord, I'm not going to let that happen." Peter missed the purpose of God on the cross. Verse 23, what does the Lord say? "Get thee behind me, Satan." You see the Lord's answer there. He says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He says, "Peter, Satan is at work here, and he's trying to get you away from my purpose to die for my people." And you see, that's what Satan does. He gets people away from the cross, from the truth, from the message, in order that he might make them a snare, in order that he might devour them. Do not miss the purpose of God. See in Christ the purpose of God to save you if you will come. And this sacrificial lamb was by purpose. but the sacrificial lamb was by blood. Jesus Christ shed his blood. And as he shed his blood, he redeemed his people. Look at Exodus 12 with me again, verse 7. And they shall take of the blood, those words say. As we go down to verse 22, it says, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. You see, the blood here is getting a special emphasis by the Lord. He wants to highlight the blood. The fact that the blood was shed. The fact that the blood was used. And you see, what happens in modern times is they want to take you away from the great significance of blood shedding. They want to use all of their terms to describe it. Some call it vampire theology. Some say it's an awful thing to talk about. And yet the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, why is this? Why does the Bible emphasize the blood? Why does the Bible say there's no salvation without the blood? Well, let's take a step back and say this. God is just. God is just, and as he judges people by his law, he will fulfill it in their lives, and that he will open up the books and he will judge them, and he will then declare his wrath upon their sin. The Bible says the Lord will not acquit any man or woman that has sinned against him. He is just. He will not let anybody go free. And so we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, in going to the cross and shedding his blood, was making satisfaction to the wrath and justice of God. And why? Well, Leviticus 17 and 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And what it means here is then that the life of the flesh is in the blood, that as Christ shed his blood, he was offering up his life to God by death. He was satisfying God's judgment upon sin. Remember earlier, friend, what I told you. God judges sin by ultimate death. And so Christ died the sinner's death. And he shed his blood and offered that life up in death to God. He became the great substitute. Death had to take place. You know, on the night of the Passover, the children of Israel escaped the judgment of God. But notice this, friend, no matter what happened, whether it was the firstborn of the Egyptians, whether it was the lamb and the house of the Israelites, death took place no matter what. And therefore Christ died, offered up the ransom price to God. He wanted the offering of a perfect life and death. He wanted blood. And this was satisfying to God because Christ was a lamb, was a sacrifice by blood without spot or blemish. Exodus 15 and 5, the Lord gives instructions about the sacrificial lamb. And he says there, your lamb shall be without blemish. And so when Christ shed his blood to God, when he sacrificed himself in death without blemish, without sin, well, then the Lord was satisfied to take the price. The Lord was satisfied to take his sacrifice. The Lord was satisfied then to declare that men and women who come to Christ will be saved because he's satisfied in him. 1 Peter 1:18 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. You see, Christ has made a sacrifice that you could never make. You can offer God what you want, but it will always be blemished by sin. And yet Christ made a perfect sacrifice by the shedding of his precious blood without spot unto God. And therefore the Lord tells you tonight, you can have confidence in his sacrifice. You can have confidence that that sacrifice will redeem you. You can have confidence that in Jesus Christ all will be well with your soul, because he was the sacrificial Lamb of God. Will you have him then, I say again? Will you rely upon that sacrifice, that purposeful sacrifice, that blood-shedding sacrifice, that sacrifice without blot or blemish beside or in the sight of God? Will you rely on that to take you straight to heaven and to redeem your soul. One more thing I want you to see about this Passover lamb. It was an appropriated lamb. It was an appropriated lamb. When I say it's an appropriated lamb, what I mean is that the benefits of the sacrifice of the lamb were applied to the people. The people were partakers of the lamb and all of its benefits. They had an interest in it. They did not just kill the lamb and then cast it out, but the lamb was used. The blood was applied. They had it as their lamb for their household. You know, so many are condemned because of their knowledge of the gospel. And what I mean by that is they know about Christ. They know about the sacrifice. They know about being saved. They know about all of these things. And yet, despite the fact that they know it all, they do not have Christ as theirs. They do not take Him upon their vessel. They do not have Him as Savior. And therefore, their knowledge is no good. Rather, it adds to their condemnation. Because the Lord will ask, "You knew about my son, and yet he was not yours. Therefore, you must have the benefits applied." If you were to have an interest in Christ, and it's not by means of church going, it's not by any other means, by putting your trust in Him as your Savior. In Exodus 12, verse 22 to 23, it says, "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning." You see, the Lord here was telling them to apply the blood that was shed by hyssop. Now, when you go to the Bible and you consider what hyssop is a cleansing agent. And therefore, they were dipping this hyssop in the blood, and the blood was being applied to the doors. This denotes that they're interested in the lamb that was sacrificed, and it denotes the cleansing of their conscience that they would have, because they would have a clean mind. They would have a peaceful mind that night. As the Lord was moving through the land of Egypt, the Israelites knew, "I have peace through the lamb that is slain." And therefore, I say to you tonight, if you come to Christ, if the benefits of his cross work are applied to you, there will be a wonderful peace in your heart. Your conscience will be cleansed from all that bothers you now in your car, as you think of your sin, as you think of the wrath of God, as you think of all these things. As soon as the blood is applied, you'll no longer fear the judgment. You'll no longer fear the death that is coming upon you. Your heart will be at peace. Do you want that peace tonight? Are you bothered by what I'm saying? It's not because of the way I'm saying it, but it's because the Lord is working upon your heart. And he's bothering you. And he's speaking to you, and he's making you think about your latter end. And you say to me, "Well, where can I get peace from all of this burden that is upon me? It is the blood, it is Christ." As Christ is your Savior. Christ is my Savior, does not save you. No, it's only Christ as yours. Have you taken a lamb upon yourself? Have you taken the lamb to be your lamb? And I say to you tonight, what disastrous consequences there are of those that will walk away out of this service without the Lord Jesus. Because their blood was applied to the side post, to the upper post of the door. One famous commentator has said, the blood was not applied to the bottom of the door. And why is that? It was because there was to be no trampling of that blood. There was to be no making little of that sacrifice. The Lord was trying to teach the people, make much of what you're doing here. And I'll say to you tonight, to leave the meeting without Christ is to trample on his blood, to trample on his sacrifice. To walk away is to make little of God and what he has done. And God will not be mocked. I say to you tonight then, come and have the Lamb of God. Have him as your Savior. See then why this Passover lamb made all the difference. This was a lamb which if they had not, they were lost. You need the lamb tonight or you're lost. Will you have him by faith? Will you take him, the redeeming lamb, that sacrificial lamb, that lamb that is to be appropriated? Will he be your lamb tonight, the Lamb of God? I pray you'll take him by faith for Jesus' sake. Amen.